God has given all of us a mission to make disciples here and everywhere for the glory of God. We want our church to be a launch pad for sending people out on the mission God has for them. Regardless of who you are, we all have a role to play. We are all involved in God's story. We pray that the story shared through Mission Control will encourage you to see how God is calling you to be used by Him. Hello, welcome to another episode of the Mission Control podcast. My name is Amanda Levy, and I'm the Communications Director here at First Baptist Melbourne. And today we have Taylor Cannon joining us. And then my brain just blanked. What is your title here now, Taylor?
Minister of Outreach.
Minister of Outreach. So Taylor is one of the newest staff members here at First Baptist Melbourne and is the Minister of Outreach. You heard it here first. And so you were here in college first, correct?
Yes. Yep.
So went to FIT, came to First Baptist Melbourne, left to go to seminary, and is now back in Melbourne, Florida. And so I'm really glad to have you here. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. I'm glad to be here.
Before we get into the thick of our conversation, I just have a fun little space icebreaker for us. Okay.
I'm ready.
So this is a piggyback off of what I asked your wife in the last episode, but space travel is becoming more common. So first of all, if you had the opportunity to go to space, would you take it?
Probably.
Okay. So if you're going on the trip to space, what's one thing that you would be sure to pack for a space journey?
How long is the journey?
However long you want it to be. How long do you want your space journey to be?
I don't know. I mean, it could
be. Well, where would you like to go? Because that would dictate how long it is, too.
It's true. It would be cool to, just space in general would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I think going to a planet seems like it would take way too long. I wouldn't want to be in space that long.
Yeah.
Probably, this is going to sound real lame. I probably would just want to make sure I brought some books so I don't get bored.
I don't think that's lame. I don't think that's lame at all. Yeah, it's crazy just seeing how many opportunities there are to go to space now for private individuals. It's wild. There's no great segue.
Is that a real?
Yeah.
I didn't even know.
You someone said it was more common. Someone.
And maybe it's because I've been in Louisville, Kentucky for so long. Like, nobody talks about space
there. So this is a rabbit
trail.
I'm not sure that it's more common for Florida, although we do have some private citizens going to space from Florida now. But I believe it's in Texas. This is a rabbit trail. I have a friend of a friend who has been to space.
Really?
Yes.
Just a friend, just a dude. It's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to space.
They might be a little more in the celebrity status.
Okay.
But they had the opportunity to just go to space. So the flight was literally they got into the ship and they just went up into orbit and then came back. But still, that's more than I can say for myself.
It's true.
I'm not sure I would take the opportunity, but I applaud people who are down for it.
I wouldn't pay for that. But if someone said, hey, would you like to go to space?
You wouldn't say no.
I'd be like, yeah, sure. Whatever day that is, I'm probably free.
I think if someone gave me the opportunity, I'd be like, I don't know. But I think that says a lot about your willingness to dive into different things. So I'm going to treat this as a segue. So
there
with
you go.
That, where does God currently have you on mission in life?
Yeah. So I'll start with proximity.
Okay.
So I'm married to Rebecca.
Okay. Yeah.
We've been married for 6 years. Mm-hmm. I would say that, I guess when I think about on mission, insofar as mission is being a disciple, making disciples.
Yeah.
So leading the lost and saved closer to Jesus. Mm-hmm. I would see my wife as being kind of the first place that I'm on mission.
Uh-huh.
I love my wife. She's wonderful. And I've loved in the last 6 years to see her grow more and more into Christ-likeness. And and it's been a blessing to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
I have two kids, Hudson, who's about to turn 3,
mm-hmm.
and who he loves rocket ships. He tells me every single day.
I'm sure he would take the opportunity to go to space.
He'd be really excited. No hesitation. Yeah, especially if there was chocolate cake on the rocket ship. He also says that every day. So, and then we have a little girl. She's 15-ish months. Uh-huh. Her name's Evangeline. And so they're my first mission.
Yeah.
First place I'm on mission.
Sure.
It's been really neat to have conversations with them. He's fairly articulate for a three-year-old and continues to surprise me with the things he hears and processes, the questions he asks. And so that's been really neat. We live, so I guess immediately outside of that would be just my neighbors. We live in a neighborhood about an apartment complex like 10 minutes from here. So we want our neighbors to know and to love Christ. Obviously here, wanting to be a blessing to the members at First Baptist. In my role in particular, I get to work through the rec ministries here with people who are members, people who aren't Christians, and to encourage believers in as evangelists and as followers of Christ. Then I get to work with the young adults, young professionals. So we'll do stuff at Florida Tech. We'll do stuff with young married couples. And that's at the moment, the spheres of mission for me.
Sure. How did you get there? So I know you're an FIT student. You studied engineering of some sort. Tell us about that whole journey.
Like from
engineering to now I'm working part-time as a minister of outreach at First Baptist Melbourne. What's that journey been like?
Yeah, well, you definitely don't start a chemical engineering degree with that end goal in mind.
Yeah.
I came to Florida Tech. We had adopted my brothers.
Okay.
2 years prior. Uh-huh. And so I wanted to be close to home. Florida Tech had a football program that is no longer there, sadly. And
Were you in the football program?
I was. Yeah. So I played football.
I don't think I realized that.
I played football. I wanted to play football. I wanted to be close to my family. And I wanted to be an engineer.
I checked the boxes.
And there's only one school like that.
Yeah.
And so I came to Florida Tech with the intent of getting a degree, going to work for my dad.
Uh-huh.
And that had been the plan really until a year, the summer before I graduated. Had an internship that I really didn't want, stumbled into it. And it was two internships, one with my dad and doing engineering and one with at a church, at a local church down in Palm Beach. And at the end of those, it felt like the Lord kind of presented these two paths for me to go. Like both of these are good things. And I just really wanted to do ministry. I felt really encouraged by the pastor that I was under at the church, and so prayed about that. And 6 months later, told my dad, like, hey, thanks for funding my school and encouraged me all this time. I'm going to do something totally different.
What did your dad say?
You know, I was reflecting on this the other day. He was encouraging. But I didn't know until later. He met with a friend from church, and the guy told me years later. He said, I sat down at breakfast with your dad after you told him, and he told me with tears in his eyes how proud he was of you. He had basically trained me my whole life to take his spot at this job, and to tell him, like, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
And for him to still say, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
Has meant the world to me.
Was it difficult to go to your dad and have that conversation?
Yeah, absolutely. That was a really difficult conversation.
Yeah.
You just don't know, you know, like what he's going to say. And
Were you raised in a Christian home?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
So that makes a difference.
Yes. Yep. It made
still an incredibly difficult conversation.
Yeah. Well, and years prior, I had a cousin who did a very similar thing.
Okay.
And I remember my dad getting off the phone with my uncle and telling me, your cousin's a fool for doing it. So
to have that in the back of your
mind. Yeah. But praise God, the Lord has been growing my dad. He's been a huge, huge blessing to me. And so, I worked for university. Worked for university for till 2020, the end of 2020.
Okay.
And
through the COVID year.
Through the COVID year, yeah. That was wild, doing college ministry with not being able to be around college students.
Yeah.
And at the end of that time, was encouraged by the elders here to move to Louisville.
Uh-huh.
We had just bought a house.
I know.
And we had a baby on the way.
Mm-hmm.
We had Hudson on the way.
Mm-hmm.
And Pastor Scott, Pastor Darren, and Pastor Aaron still sat down with me and said, "Hey, I thought I was going for a job interview."
Mm-hmm.
And they did not talk about any jobs at all. The whole meeting was like, "Hey, look, you could do a lot of jobs, a lot of part-time things, but we really think you should just like up and move."
What were the reasons?
So I talked to Pastor Scott afterwards. Mm-hmm. I really sat down and was like, "I don't think I should do this. I don't think I'm cut out for ministry, like pastoral ministry." And I mean, this conversation really carried me through seminary, where we sat down and he, again, with tears in his eyes, said, "Taylor, I believe in you and the gifts that God has given you,
mm-hmm.
and you need to be concerned." He's like, "Humility is good. Humility is a good thing to have, but there comes a time where you need to be concerned about burying your talents in the sand."
Mm.
I revisited that conversation. You know, I'm in the middle of seminary, like learning. I had to learn to write papers. You don't write papers in engineering, right?
Yeah.
Had to read a book. It had been years since I'd read anything. And so, you know, feeling like a fish out of water in many ways, reminding myself, like, I'm not here because I think I'm great. I'm here because people have encouraged me.
Yeah.
To do this. So that's how I got to Louisville. I had no intention of coming back. But I did, while I was there, develop, I think the Lord grew in me a desire to be a pastor.
Uh-huh.
And I realize it doesn't always happen like this, but I think it's maybe best that, just because so much, it's best when pastors are referred. Mm-hmm. Simply because so much of being a pastor is about character. And you can't get a lot of that in an interview.
Yeah.
And so my first priority is like, I'll submit job applications if I need to because I need a job.
Yeah.
But if First Baptist or the church we were at, Emmanuel Baptist Church, would recommend we go somewhere, we would do that before we did anything else.
Yeah.
And so First Baptist reached out for us to do the pipeline.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to do more schooling. And so the conversation evolved until we're here.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So are you doing more schooling right now?
That's the hope.
Uh-huh.
I've applied to do more schooling. I'm waiting. I should know the end of February.
Okay. What degree program did you go through for a seminary?
Yeah, so I'm about to finish my Master's of Divinity at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary.
Gotcha. All right. Cool, cool, cool.
Yeah, it's been good.
So at what point did the conversations begin again with First Baptist Melbourne to bring you here? What were your thoughts for that?
Yeah, that was not this last summer, but the summer beforehand. Okay. So that was when they first reached out and said, "Hey, we'll talk again in December. Just want to put this in front of you, something to pray about."
Gotcha.
And so, yeah, we prayed about, we were just praying what to do, praying about church planning, church revitalization, just being a pastor somewhere.
Where is your heart in all of that?
I think we're open to a lot of things, you know. Our hope is to stay here for a while and understanding that the Lord could kind of lead us. We're holding where we're at with a very open hand.
Yes, you know? I think that's a good place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you're open to things. Are you doing anything with the pipeline right now?
Not presently, no. Okay,
cool. So it's community outreach.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Yeah, so my hope, I guess presently it's to maintain and maximize the things that are in place.
Okay.
My hope is to use the ministries that are there to help the members at First Baptist in particular grow as evangelists.
Uh-huh.
So just in their personal life, thinking about just kind of being oriented towards sharing the gospel with the people around them, making mm-hmm. relationships, building friendships with mm-hmm. with the expressed intent, "I'm going to love you. And a part of that is I want to share the gospel with you."
Mm-hmm. That's cool. What excites you about your role and about what's happening at First Baptist Melbourne?
Probably more than anything is the potential. There's a lot of members here. And to when you think about, like, I think there's 1,800 members at First Baptist, somewhere around there. It's a really big number.
And it becomes this whole members versus active. Yeah.
Yeah. But so to I mean, you just turn people
and
you turn people towards others
mm-hmm.
to share the gospel mm-hmm. and just your life and, mm-hmm. And really awesome things start to happen, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, my hope is to help people and kind of the beauty of it is, I mean, particularly with being a Baptist church, believing in regenerate church membership, like I think oftentimes you just get to like point people to the Bible, be like, hey, like this is what following Jesus looks like. And they're like, you know, yeah, like I'd like to do that.
Yeah.
Like, hey, let's do that. Let's do that together.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's, I think that's exciting.
Uh-huh. Very cool. And as you look back, where are some obvious areas with hindsight that you see that God was leading and directing you towards this?
To like towards this role where we're at now?
Or just even just the season of ministry either now or just in general, the pivot from engineering to ministry.
Yeah. Well, I think there's two big things that happen multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
One would be just like really impactful conversations I had with people. And they ended up being like sometimes very brief conversations, like going to moving from engineering to ministry
mm-hmm.
was I had an internship, like I said, at a church in North Palm. And
is that where you grew up?
I'm from Palm Beach.
Okay.
So just South Florida. Uh-huh. But I had an internship with this guy who, again, just kind of offered it to me on the spot. And at the end of it, he said, you know, I felt like the Lord, when you came in, was like, hey, you should give this guy this internship to run the college program. Uh-huh. I had no ministry experience outside of working, just being a student leader at InterVarsity.
Uh-huh.
He's like, hey, like, I felt like the Lord was leading me to give this to you
uh-huh.
and then to watch and
just kind of see what happens.
Just see what happens and tell you what I see. And he said, I've come to the end of this and I want you to know that I think God has wired you for this. Mm. I think you're going to be really discontent doing anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I had begun to feel that in myself, having these two experiences side by side. But it was in many ways, I think it was the first time anyone had like affirmed that in me. Mm-hmm. And it was a new desire in me. And so that was one where just kind of like a radical change there.
Yeah.
The other ones, again, like the conversation to move from InterVarsity to Louisville,
mm-hmm.
that conversation with Pastor Scott, like in particular, like moved the needle for me from one direction to the other. And then, I mean, moving back, I would have been like, I guess like a series of conversations, but I think it ended up being more, the second piece in all of this was money. It's just like a very practical, whenever I went into InterVarsity, this isn't necessarily direction, but it did help in a lot of ways, is that my parents weren't really on board. I guess they weren't really convinced that this is what I was going to do
uh-huh.
until I was support raising. So I was uh-huh. a minister with InterVarsity and needed to make a living.
Yeah.
And so while I was support raising initially, I started to work with Dan Carter
mm-hmm.
and Jason Jack, and I just pulled a lot of weeds.
Okay.
Which growing up was my punishment.
Okay.
That was.
But you were willing to do it for this.
I was willing to do it because I thought this was what the Lord had for me.
Yeah.
And this is what obedience to God looked like. And I remember having a conversation with my mom where I was asking for her to partner just to fund us and partner with me financially. And that for her was like I'm on board. And uh-huh. so they've become her and my dad have become really some of my biggest supporters just in my ministry as a whole. There's mm-hmm. just have like completely gotten behind mm-hmm. the things that God has been doing in me and in my family. Moving to Louisville, They were the ones, we couldn't have done that unless years prior they had said, hey, we feel like the Lord would, as the obedience to God looks like funding you through seminary. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I really love working for InterVarsity.
Yeah.
And they were honestly really confused them. they were like, Rich, okay, well, maybe we heard wrong or whatever. Yeah. And so, but 2 years later, my time with InterVarsity has come to an end. I don't have a next step.
Yeah.
I meet with Pastor Scott for what I thought was the next
and
step.
And then he gave you this?
He gave me the thing. And so we prayed about it and I ended up calling my dad and was like, hey, remember that conversation?
So what, your dad planted the seed for seminary first then, before Pastor Scott? Is that what I'm hearing?
So I had, yeah, like the moving there. Yes. Yeah. Yep. Because I had started, I was doing it a class at a time, had no intention of moving there.
Okay.
It was
okay,
simply
okay.
to just learn more.
Okay. Okay.
My dad was the first one that was like, you should move there. And I was like, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
And then Pastor Scott was like, you should move there. And I was like, hey, hey, dad, what do you think about me moving to a...
What crazy idea. You've probably never heard of it.
Yeah, exactly. Remember that conversation we had years ago and I told you that I'm never going to do that?
Well, yeah.
Here we are.
Well, that's kind of a cool, I wouldn't call it 180 because your dad was supportive when you first talked to him. Mm. But I think it's also cool how your parents supported and were encouraging in this as well. Not just like, okay, that's cool. But like, yeah. Hey, we're going to get our boots on the ground and help you with this too. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. What advice would you have for someone who is maybe in that position you were back when you were in college and you did the internship and they're thinking to themselves, either I don't feel like I have a next step in front of me, or maybe the pathway I'm going down, I feel discontent in and God's calling me to something more ministry related.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to them?
Yeah, I think... I think that God has given us three things to make decisions. I think Christians have so much freedom to make choices.
Mm-hmm.
There's a paraphrase of an Augustine quote that I just really appreciate. It says, I have it written down here.
Very good. That font, by the way, is so small. I don't know how you read that.
You can make it bigger. Okay, this is just 12-point font. Just some standard Times New Roman. I did put it on here, and I was like, maybe I should have edited this
more. You should see this. It is, like, this big.
Yeah, the things LASIK will do for you.
Oh, very good. So anyway, Augustine.
It says, so Augustine, he has this quote where he effectively says, love God and do whatever you please, for the soul trained in love to God will do nothing to offend the one who is beloved.
Mm.
And I think there's a lot of truth in that. I think that Christians are free as they're constrained by God's love, love for God, love from God, to really do what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the parameters that God gives in those decision makings are his word.
Mm-hmm.
So like love for God will constrain us to obedience to God's word.
Mm-hmm.
His people, love for God unites us with his people. It, mm-hmm. it puts us in submission to his people. It makes us to serve his people.
Mm-hmm.
And then his Holy Spirit who fills us, who leads us. There's this awesome, awesome verse in Jeremiah where it talks about how this in the new covenant, the Spirit will be as one who comes up from behind and says to go this way or that. Mm-hmm. This is the way, walk in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say first, pray. God wants to lead you. In Proverbs, it talks about how the heart of a king is like streams of water in the hand of the Lord. And he turns it wherever he will. And then in Psalm 37, it talks about how if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our heart. And so mm-hmm. I think those things kind of work together to say like, look, we attune our hearts to God. We seek after God's kingdom and God's righteousness. And God's the one who moves our hearts and our desires. So that we can want good things and then just pursue them.
Yeah.
But we need to pursue them not as individuals, because we're not just individuals. We're part of a family.
Mm-hmm.
To be a Christian is to be one part of a body, mm-hmm. a local church.
Mm-hmm.
And so to make those kinds of decisions as you seek the Lord, like your heart begins to move and then you ask other people in your church, people that know you, people that are discipling you, whether it's your pastors, the people around you, the people in your small group. Hey, what do you think about this? I'm thinking of these things. Would you pray with me?
Mm-hmm.
Think through these things with me. Yeah. And so God's word, God's people, God's spirit lead us to really kind of do what we want.
Yeah. I think that's awesome. What are some people or resources that have been really encouraging for you and helpful for you on this road?
Yeah, that's a really...
Not to say it has to be the best one, but just some of.
Well, there's so many people.
Yeah.
There's so many people. And I think when you asked the previous question, the first thing that came to mind is acknowledging in my own story how, and praise God for this, like how it was so not just me.
Mm-hmm.
At every step, it was people around me.
Mm-hmm.
Really holding my hand through these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so thankful to God for that. Even like right after I became a Christian. I became a Christian when I was 18.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah. So grew up in a Christian home, would have professed to be a Christian. And yet in reflecting, everything was plain. I loved the world. I loved sin.
Uh-huh.
And there was not love for God in my heart. And so praise God. Like he saved me before I came to college. Really changed how... This is the things I was anticipating college being. But one of those things is I felt the need for Christian friendships. And by God's grace, he brought InterVarsity into my life.
Mm-hmm.
And they really took hold of my hand and taught mm-hmm. me how to study the Bible, how to share my faith, how to do all those things in community,
mm-hmm.
what it meant to like come alongside people and walk with them. And we do this stuff together. So yeah, in there, Tim Gonyer. Incredibly helpful, just a sweet gift from God to me. Abraham Zamora and his wife Laura, who are members here,
mm-hmm.
Just men who wanted to come alongside younger believers and teach them how to follow Jesus.
Yeah,
and yeah, I mean, eternally grateful for those two men in particular. First Baptist, the elders here, obviously, as I've shared different times in my story. How helpful they've been in mm-hmm. in helping me. Certainly, just sitting under faithful preaching, I think is essential. Has shaped me more than I'll ever know.
Yeah.
My parents, just seeing them grow in love for God. Seeing my dad be a Christian, businessman who is over people and loves them and leads well. Yeah, I am just, yeah, I mean, I feel like all the people I've talked about, my wife,
yeah.
in ways I just, you just don't know when you get yeah. married how much help you need.
Yeah.
And she's been a sweet gift to me. Resource-wise, one of the things seminary does is it kind of fits you with resources.
Yeah.
I would say there's two professors in particular, and then one guy I just really appreciated the way he's taught the Bible and thinks through the Bible is James Hamilton, who has a great podcast called Bible Talk. I recommend it to everybody.
Okay.
And they just walk through section by section the Bible.
That's cool.
They're in 2 Samuel. They started in Genesis.
Called Bible Talk. What
Bible
was his
Talk.
Name?
James Hamilton.
James Hamilton. Okay.
Yeah. Highly recommend. Just to like listen as you read along the Bible.
Yeah. We'll put a link to that in the show notes.
Phenomenal. The other guy would be Stephen Wellam, who's a professor. Yeah. Really loves the Lord, loves the church. But just, I think, just a brilliant theologian who's thought about how the Bible fits together, progresses, culminates, climaxes in Jesus Christ, what that means for us.
Mm-hmm.
Hugely influential for me. Another guy would be Jonathan Lehman, who's thought a lot about the church and how that relates to the Christian life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those guys, really anything they write, I would recommend.
Uh-huh.
Whatever their podcasts are, I would recommend them. I okay. think they're phenomenal.
Okay.
So
cool. Going back maybe a little bit, what kind of roadblocks have you faced and how has God worked through them?
Yeah, that's a good question. Roadblocks, I think, like I said, money ends up being one of them. Yeah. And God's kindness to work through like really ordinary circumstances. Like, yeah. I just need money. And yeah. God is kind to lead yeah. in those places.
Yeah.
There's certainly points, maybe there's different roadblocks that end up being like, being in ministry, they end up being like more theological in nature. Like I disagree with this or this thing, or I just have even not necessarily in ministry, but thinking about like, I guess my wife has been a huge part of this for me. And even like learning what it means to discern God's will in my mm-hmm. pursuit of her. I just had like a really backwards view of what it meant to like know God's will for my life.
Mm-hmm.
What it meant to, yeah, to follow God, and what I just expressed is where I've landed. But our relationship was like, I would not recommend anybody date the way that we did, at least in the sense of like the like back and forth and not breaking up and getting back together. And
I was not aware of this part of your relationship.
Yeah. So as pertains to godliness, I think I praise God we did well. As yeah. it pertains to maybe wisdom and like you, if you break up, you should just not try to be friends. You should just end it. Like it's not.
This is turning into a relationship podcast with Taylor Cannon.
God's kindness. He taught me about his love for me and mm-hmm. how to know, like, what his will is,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, which is things you know.
At what point in this journey did you start dating Rebecca and then get married?
Yeah, so I started dating Rebecca. So I actually...
Putting you on the spot. We don't need years. Just like general.
Yeah, so I started dating Rebecca. I went on my first date with Rebecca.
Okay.
Basically, as soon as I left that internship at the church in North Palm.
Okay.
I started dating Rebecca 5 months later.
Okay.
And that was 5 months. Then we broke up.
Okay.
I started to work for InterVarsity.
Okay.
6 months after that.
So you had the conversation with your father before you were married then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. I actually told on that same conversation, I told my dad I was going to marry Rebecca.
Oh.
And then...
this is a big conversation,
guys.
It's
a big conversation. It was.
Were you dating her at this point?
It's
okay. You don't have to answer that.
I was not dating her at this point. Okay. I was pretty confident we were going to be dating soon.
Okay.
It was, yeah. learning how to discern God's will is a very important thing in the Christian life. And so, yeah, 6 months after we broke up, I took her on a walk. And said, I realize we're not dating, but I'd like to marry you. And she was like, well, I'd still like to be broken up. And I said, well, you should talk to somebody about that. And so she did. And she came back. And so we started dating. We were working for Dan together. Now we're both making money because she started work for FCA.
So you weren't working for FCA though. You were working for InterVarsity. For InterVarsity. Dan yes. is connected to InterVarsity?
Dan is connected to
Dan's
every missionary.
Connected to everything.
Dan is connected to everyone, every missionary in Brevard County.
Okay.
They all, as a rite of passage, have to do his landscaping ministry.
got it.
They all pull weeds at the fountains.
Got it.
They all earn their keep. It's necessary.
Very good.
If you don't put a French drain in somewhere with Dan Carter, you can't be a missionary.
So the key is Dan Carter.
The key is Dan Carter.
So if you're looking to discern your will, Dan Carter is also the key to Brevard County.
Dan Carter and David Hasker.
Okay.
I sat down with David Hasker. I said, I don't know if I should marry Rebecca. And he said, Taylor, just do it. It's better anyways. And I was like, all right. So I went home and bought a ring.
Okay. Wait, so did you buy the ring? Wait, no, this is after your conversation with David.
This is after my conversation with David.
Okay.
We started dating. Like I said, the timeline is like a lot of on again, off again. It's stuff that you like, you're like, what are you doing? Stop talking to them. You broke up 6 months ago.
Yeah.
But here we are. Praise God.
So you went through that part of your journey as a single guy. Then you were working for InterVarsity.
Mm-hmm.
Got married while you were working for InterVarsity.
Yes.
And then you're continuing. How long had y'all been married where you're continuing to work for InterVarsity.
We worked for InterVarsity for two and a half years.
How long did you work for InterVarsity?
I worked for InterVarsity from May 2017 to December 2020.
Oh, that was a lot longer. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Wow.
It's a good time.
There's like a whole lot that God brings you through.
It's true.
Through all of that.
It's true.
It sounds on paper like this linear thing until you start to add all the relationships you have with people and you realize, yeah, like you said, it's not just an individual thing.
Yeah.
And so it makes it so, so interesting.
Yeah.
And messy and beautiful and wonderful.
It's true. It's one of those things where you could probably do a podcast episode for like each, in my mind, the things that like God was teaching me in those different seasons, you know?
Yeah.
And so you look back and it's like, in the midst of it, you're like, this is awful.
Yes.
This is so hard.
Yes.
But looking back, you're like, oh man, praise God.
Yeah.
That, like, I went through that.
Yeah.
Because now I know what I know. I know God, yeah, more. I know that, yeah, know about God and what the Christian life looks like. And so, yeah, like, I'm incredibly thankful for the ups and downs in that journey.
Nice. Well, I've been enjoying your conversation, but we got to wrap it up. So finally, what is some advice or encouragement you would have for someone who's looking to make the – I butchered this. We're going to cut that. What advice or encouragement would you have for someone feeling the call to make disciples here and everywhere for the glory of God?
I love that question. My mind immediately goes to Ezra.
Okay.
Ezra 7:10.
Uh-huh.
So it says, Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. And I think that is like a roadmap for personal discipleship.
Uh-huh.
Is you set your heart to study God's word, not for pragmatic reasons, mm-hmm, but simply for its own sake. I think it's important for us as Christians to reject pragmatism. Pragmatism being to do things because they work, because they accomplish things.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, you don't talk to your spouse or spend time with your kids because you're seeking some other thing, mm-hmm, right? They're goods in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And studying God's word is like that. It's a good for its own sake.
Mm-hmm.
And so to take time and think about what God's word says about him and about other people, learn to study it well, get good resources that help you, mm-hmm, surround yourself with people, talk to people who will help you think through these things and disagree with you and push back. And
mm-hmm,
it's good for its own sake. You think of Psalm 1 and how the blessed man meditates on the law of the Lord. Psalm 111 verse 2, great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, and it's all about how awesome. You would think it was heretical the way he's talking about praising God's word. And it's because, mm-hmm, God and his word are so deeply united.
Mm-hmm.
And so God speaking is his doing. And so study God's word. Set your heart to study God's word amid God's people by the power of God's Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you obey it. God's word isn't just for hearing. It's to shape the way we see the world, the way we act in the world. And so that's why Jesus everywhere is says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
Mm-hmm.
I love that John says that multiple times in the Gospel of John, in 1 John, over and over again. If you want to love God, you do what he says. And it's amazing. In 1 John, he says, if you want to love people, you do what God says.
Mm-hmm.
You want to love, it looks like obedience,
mm-hmm,
obedience to God. And then finally, I think it's really important to teach God's word. I think teaching is fundamental to being a Christian. It's fundamental to following God. Whether,
mm-hmm,
you know, whether you were in the Old Testament, you have Deuteronomy 6,
mm-hmm,
that, you know, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And the very next command is to teach this to your children.
Yeah.
And not just teach it to your children, is to be talking about it all the time. When you lie down, when you rise, when you're just sitting around, when you, mm-hmm, leave your house, when you're coming back, the Bible should be all over and you should be talking about it, teaching, mm-hmm, your children this. And then you get to the New Testament, and what is Jesus' commission? He says, go
and make disciples
and teach. Make disciples of all the nations, evangelizing them, and then bringing them in, and then teaching them.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching them everything. Teaching them about God, teaching them about people, teaching them about what it means to know God and love people and obey God's word. teaching is fundamental for every Christian. And so, yeah, you want to submit yourself to good teaching so that you're doing it right. I think that's why preaching is so important, because it flows into mm-hmm. everything else. But it doesn't mean just because I go to Sunday preaching that I'm therefore exempt from teaching. That mm-hmm. that's supposed to fuel and fill out the teaching I do mm-hmm. the rest of the week. And so, yeah, know God's word, study it, do it, teach it. And then in case it gets lost in there, share the gospel. Just find someone. Mm-hmm. Trust God's word. Trust that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Trust that God wants to use you. And then just tell someone. Tell your neighbors. Tell your coworkers. Mm-hmm. And see what God does. Do it in, I think, you know, whatever you talk about, how to do it well and listening and asking yeah. questions. But at the end of the day, it's the gospel that saves people. Mm-hmm. And we want people to know God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, thanks for that. I enjoyed our conversation. I'm glad. I'm sorry. I made him wait like an extra 45 minutes from when we were supposed to record. So thank you for
my
being
pleasure.
So patient and for coming with us.
I enjoyed this. I'm honored.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mission Control. If you're interested in learning more about Launch 10X and the different ways to get involved in what God is doing here at First Baptist Melbourne, a great place to start would be visiting our website, launchme.church. Join us next time as Abe Walton comes to Mission Control to explore his unique journey from being a first-generation college graduate to graduating with a PhD and becoming the youngest tenured professor at FIT. He'll share his perspectives on the intertwining of business principles with biblical teaching and his rich involvement in fostering student ministries and his experience going through the Aspire program here at First Baptist Melbourne. You won't want to miss Abe's insight on discipleship and the multiple pathways to serving God's kingdom. Until then, have a great week on mission with King Jesus.